We're nearly there. There's Christmas cards and the Christmas emails are sent. The food and drink has been bought in. The presents are wrapped. Well, almost. And maybe you've got some time planned for a family holiday or a few quiet days at home. And you've come here tonight to recall. To recall what this festive season is all about. You've come to reflect, to remember. 2015 has been an important year for Australia in the task of remembering. On April the 25th, we remembered the 100th anniversary of the Anzac landings at Gallipoli. Daria Krauts and Letters to Sweethearts were read out at the commemoration service at Anzac Cove. We remembered. And tonight we've heard the readings from the Bible, the wonderful prophecy of Jesus from Isaiah, and the accounts in Luke and Matthew's Gospels of the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago. We're remembering. And remembering plays a very significant part in our lives. We remember people, friends, loved ones, favorite places, special events. Remembering makes a difference to us. We also remember the things that we're taught or told so that we can act on them. A doctor remembers how to carry out a vital medical procedure to save a life. A concert pianist remembers in detail every note of Beethoven's third piano concerto to entertain an audience. A student driver remembers how to drive Dad's car safely, well, you hope, in order to pass the test. Remembering matters. And that's why you're here. Each year, we remember the events of the first Christmas to celebrate them and also so that we can act on them, so that we can live in the light of all that the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, signifies. In a moment, we'll be thinking about the Magi searching for the newborn king. But for some, just searching for the right Christmas tree is a major priority. Take Frederick Dominguez. On December the 16th, 2007, Frederick, aged 38, attended church in the morning with his three kids, Christopher, 18, Alexis, 15, and Joshua, 12. And after lunch, the four of them left their home in Paradise, California, to head for the mountains. They'd be able to cut down their own Christmas tree with a bit of sprinkled snow on top. A family adventure to remember. But unfortunately, for all the wrong reasons. They got to the mountains okay. Frederick parked the car and the four of them walked into the woods in runners and light jackets. But then the blizzard came. A big one. To cut a long story short, this family spent 3 days in the snow on the mountain and were eventually rescued by helicopter. I'm glad to say they survived to tell the tale. Their search for a Christmas tree gave them a bit more than they bargained for, and Frederick certainly had a little explaining to do to Mrs. Dominguez. What about our friends, the Magi? Well, they certainly got the most wonderful reward for their search. It was beyond their wildest dreams, and there were no blizzards as they plodded across the sand pit. But what do we know about the Magi? Not much, really. We don't know their names or ages or precisely where they come from. Probably modern-day Iraq. We don't know how they traveled. Was it by foot, by camel, by chariot? Yet we do know that Magi were prominent figures in the ancient world. The Roman historian Suetonius records a visit by Magi to Emperor Nero in AD 66. Today we'd call them astrologers. And as Matthew's account makes clear, some of them were sincere seekers after God. You see, history tells us that throughout the ages and on countless occasions, God has made himself known to those who sincerely seek him. Perhaps that's your story as well. Though, of course, the real story is that God is seeking us. And that's why Jesus came 2,000 years ago. The star the Magi followed obviously signified someone extremely important, which is why they asked King Herod, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star." The star itself may well have been the lunar eclipse of Jupiter in 6 BC. Dr. Michael Molnar, an astronomer formerly of Rutgers University in the USA, wrote a groundbreaking book for the millennium entitled The Star of Bethlehem, The Legacy of the Magi. Dr. Molnar's hobby is coin collecting, and he happened to buy an ancient coin struck in 6 AD, a Roman coin. On one side of the coin was the Roman god Jupiter, and on the other was Ares the ram, a well-known symbol for Judea, where Jesus was born, looking up at a star. It prompted Dr. Molnar into action, and he made the link between the coin, the lunar eclipse of Jupiter in 6 BC, and the birth of Christ. He checked astronomical records of the time, and it all seemed to fit. Professor Bradley Schaefer, a fellow astronomer from Yale University, wrote at the time, "Molnar has found the Star of Bethlehem. I believe him, and I'm embarrassed. This material has been around for centuries, and no one's looked until now." Of course, the star may well have been a miraculous occurrence. If Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God, then it's hardly surprising that there was a remarkable phenomenon marking his arrival into the world. But whatever the cause of the star, the Magi saw it and followed it. The fact that the Magi believed the star denoted the birth of the King of the Jews took them direct to King Herod's palace. Herod had himself been given the title of the King of the Jews by Marcus Antonius in 40 BC. And you know, King Herod wasn't the kind of guy to take kindly to rivals. He had three of his own sons murdered to ensure that he stayed undisputed king of the Jews. As Emperor Augustus put it, it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son. The mere mention of the birth of a new king of the Jews greatly disturbed Herod, and in fact, the whole city of Jerusalem. As you can see, the seeds of Jesus' ultimate rejection were sown very early on. Herod summoned the various chief priests and scholars to tell him if they knew whether Christ was to be born, the Messiah. Herod clearly knew something of the ancient prophecy, telling of a divine king who would be born to lead the people of Israel. But he never expected it to actually happen, and certainly not when he was king. The priest pointed Herod to the book of Micah, which prophesied the Messiah would be born in the town of Bethlehem. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." King Herod passed on this information about Bethlehem to the Magi. But before they could set off, Herod asked them to return to him once they'd found the Christ, so he himself could go and worship the child. Contemptible words of deceit, which masked his desire to see the Christ child dead. Herod made the choice, you see, to reject rather than rejoice in the newborn king. But he had nothing to fear. For as the prophet Micah wrote, this child would grow up to be the shepherd king, the good shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. When the Magi eventually reached Bethlehem and found the newborn king lying in a manger, they didn't pick him up for a cuddle or sing a lullaby to him. No, as Matthew records, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. A lot of people today say, if there is a God, why is he silent? Why doesn't he do something to show us he's there? Well, the answer is that God has gone to a great deal of trouble to show us he's there and that he cares for each one of us. The birth of Jesus, God in human form, tells us that in the most unique and compelling way. The Magi understood. They knew God had done something extraordinary, and they seemed to grasp the enormous implications of Jesus' birth. For clearly, the child king wouldn't stay a child, a baby in a manger, but would grow up into manhood to serve as king of his kingdom. And so the Magi bowed before him and worshipped him. This same Jesus would one day heal the blind and the lame, raise the dead, calm a raging storm, feed 5,000 from a few loaves and a couple of fish, teach with an authority and a power that nobody had ever witnessed before or since. And finally, he would die on a cross for his claim to be king, only to rise again 3 days later as the risen, glorious king that he is. As we know, the Magi brought gifts. You'll have bought yours. They're all ready, they're under the tree for others to open. There was gold for a king, the most costly of gifts. Incense for a holy one, worthy of worship. And myrrh for a savior. John's gospel records that myrrh was a spice used to embalm Jesus' body for burial in the tomb. It was a most unusual gift for a baby, but it pointed ahead as to why Jesus came into the world. He came to die for our sin, for our rebellion against God's kingly rule. He came to be our savior. And the Magi, having worshipped Jesus and bestowed their gifts on him, took their leave. They didn't go back to Jerusalem to report to King Herod because in a dream they'd been warned not to. So they returned to their country by another route. What a journey they'd had. What an extraordinary discovery they had made. It would be something they could never forget. They would remember it forever. And for us, as we remember the Christmas story this year, how will we respond? Do we also feel drawn to worship this king and offer him not only our very best, as the Magi did, but also our lives in his service? Many here will feel they wish to make such a heartfelt response. Others perhaps feel understandably nervous about allowing another to be ruler, to be king over their lives. You've come here tonight to remember the Christmas story, perhaps to reconnect with it after many years. You're very welcome. For some visitors, this will be the very first time you've heard the Christmas story, and there's a great deal to think about. And yes, it's true, there is a cost to bowing the knee to Christ, of submitting to his kingly rule in our lives, and it demands serious reflection. But as one respected Christian writer once put it, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. If you want to consider the Christian faith further, please take one of the free Why Christmas booklets by the front doors as you leave tonight, or take the opportunity to talk with me or one of the other staff or the friend who brought you. Well, the Magi had left their homes and their country, traveled hundreds of miles, bestowed expensive gifts on a child in a stable, but returned home so much the richer. For this had been no ordinary child. They may have given gifts to him, but no doubt they knew in their hearts that he was God's gift to them. And not only to them, but to the whole world. As Jesus himself once said, as a grown man, speaking about why he came from heaven to our earth, I have come that you may have life, life in all its fullness. May you know that fullness of life and joy this Christmas. I wish you all a very happy Christmas.